Good morning. Last week on Epiphany Sunday, we talked about how the news of Jesus' presence was beginning to spread, how the news of his birth was starting to take hold. Today we'll talk about how Jesus is emerging. What do I mean by the emerging Jesus? What do I mean by saying that Jesus is emerging? Answers to the questions, who is Jesus, what is Jesus about, are beginning to emerge. The picture is filling in, and we'll see this especially over the next two Sundays. Next Sunday, we'll talk about how a specific miracle that Jesus did really began to show the people who Jesus is. And then the Sunday after that, the final Sunday in January, we will talk about Jesus' mission, which gave the people a pretty clear picture of what Jesus is about. So Jesus is beginning to emerge here at the beginning of our season of Epiphany. Today, we will begin with the moment in which Jesus is baptized. But before we get there, I just want to share a little bit of a story. And like most of my stories, they come from my childhood. I remember it being kind of a morning like this. It must have been a January morning. And my father knocked on our front, on my bedroom door, and told me that we were going to go watch a basketball game. But the basketball game was going to be on the beach in Delaware. So I said, okay, you know, we're going to go to the beach in wintertime. But he was very excited, and I had hardly ever seen him this excited to go see a basketball game. And we were going to go watch a high school basketball player at the time who was on the cover of Sports Illustrated under the headline, The Chosen One. So there was a lot of hype about this basketball game. And I remember getting to this pretty nondescript gymnasium, kind of on this deserted beach in Delaware. But there were cars everywhere. People were packed in this little high school gymnasium. There was so much anticipation in the air to see this one basketball player. Does anybody want to take a guess at who this basketball player was? Any guesses? LeBron James, yeah. Most of you have probably heard of LeBron James before. I'll never forget what it was like to see LeBron James play basketball for the first time. It was like watching basketball for the first time. It was a totally new experience. He could do things at his size and skill level that no one had ever been able to do before. I remember my dad saying that he had seen Wilt Chamberlain play and Michael Jordan, and he had never seen anything quite like LeBron, and he was right. It opened up another world, and it was for all to witness. A similar scene like that is unfolding in our story from Luke's gospel this morning. Instead of Sports Illustrated, it's John the Baptist who's out hyping the crowd. And you can feel this sort of air of anticipation spreading. And he's talking about the end to the status quo, the end to the present time. And there was this expectation, we've talked about this for a number of weeks here, that the Messiah would bring a new world in which all things would live forever in love and justice and peace, and therefore we would all live in right relationship with God. And he's using these incredible metaphors. He's talking about separating good from evil, separating wheat from chaff. And it all amounts to this new world that Jesus is bringing forth. And the people, they are wondering if the Messiah is John. But he always points them to Jesus. John is baptizing. He's calling people to repent, and then he's baptizing them with water. He's preparing them for the new world, but he says that Jesus, the one who is more powerful than I, that's what he says, is coming to baptize with Holy Spirit and fire. And in this moment, baptism becomes a public sign, a declaration that you are ready to leave the old world and things of the old world behind and stake your ground with Jesus in the new world. And so there's Jesus, baptized among all of the others by John, but his is different. A voice from heaven, the scripture says, rings down, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." That's the moment. And what does that mean? It's a public declaration that God is taking steps within the ministry of Jesus to bring us the new world. The moment in which the work of God and the work of Jesus are one. Those of you who have been baptized, what do you remember from your baptism? Think about that just for a second. The moment that you made a public declaration of faith, you might remember the place, maybe the pastor, maybe the class, the baptism class that you took beforehand, the experience itself of being baptized. One of the things I remember from my own baptism was the community of people that surrounded me, the family and friends that we are often surrounded by when we are baptized. Our baptism happens in the presence of community, and it's the community around you that bears witness to your public declaration. And in some ways, they hold that memory of your baptism up for you. In baptism, a covenant is made between you and God and between you and your community. We see that in the cross, right? Between you and God, between you and your community, vertical and horizontal. The word covenant is another word for relationship. Examples of covenants are signing a contract, marriage vows, perhaps being sworn in as an elected official who is going to represent a certain constituency. A covenant is something you make upon entering, or in some cases renewing, a relationship that is important to your life. And in a few minutes, as you all know, we will be invited to sign the covenant of Des Moines Mennonite Church. And I will say this is a new experience for me. I've never been part of a church that has a long-held tradition of signing a covenant together on an annual basis. And one of the things that has happened over the last couple months is that the spiritual care team has gone to work updating our covenant. And we hope that is a reflection of our values and what we're about here now at Des Moines Mennonite Church. And I want to read the five commitments that are part of our covenant here, because I think it's important for us to reflect on those for a moment. So the five commitments go like this. A public statement of faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Redeemer of creation. A commitment to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ in daily life and to live them with a loving spirit toward all people within and beyond this congregation. A commitment to acknowledge our brokenness and dependence on God's grace for healing a new life. A commitment to active participation in the life of this congregation through consistent engagement in worship, spiritual growth, learning opportunities, service, financial support, ministries of care and counsel, and congregational discernment. And finally, a commitment to share the message of God's love and peace with our words and actions as we connect to people in our city. In this covenant, we spell out the core commitments that I think make us who we are and who we want to be at Des Moines Mennonite Church. And part and parcel of that is that when we live out these commitments, we are more likely to be in right relationship with ourselves, among ourselves, with our neighbors, and with God. And in many ways, it's a public declaration to remember and live out our baptism, the reflection of that commitment, that declaration. And when we do that, I think that we point to the new world where Christ reigns, just like John the Baptist. And pointing to that new world where love, justice, and peace live forever with us under the reign of Christ is ultimately the purpose of everything we do. Baptism is a public declaration of our faith, and we believe that we live out our faith in the presence of community. That is probably the purpose of the church and all that we do to care and sustain the church, including a covenant signing. But being the church, this is part of the radical message here today. Being the church as an institution is not the end all, be all. Baptism, the life of faith, and being part of a church community is for the purpose of preparing for the new world that God promises. That's why we do everything that we do. It is to point to the new world and to prepare for the new world. The moment that God's voice comes down from heaven and proclaims that Jesus is the beloved is the moment that that new world begins to emerge for all to witness. May it be so. Amen.